From national news in D.C. to behind-the-scenes coverage of the Nebraska Capitol, this is your Capitol Connection. And now, bringing the Capitol to you, here's your host, Nate Groz.
And welcome to another edition of Capitol Connection, Nebraska Family Alliance's weekly radio program on 94.5 FM, 1420 AM, The Answer, and your source for Capitol news and all things family, freedom, and life. One of the things we love to do is feature Nebraska's elected officials and government leaders to give people a better insight into their lives and the work that they're doing for the state of Nebraska. And I'm thrilled to be able to get to do that this week to start the show with the state senator. I'm pleased to be joined now by Senator John Lowe of Kearney, representing District 37. Senator, it's great to have you on the show.
Well, good day. How are you, Nate?
I'm doing well, Senator. We always appreciate the time that our elected officials take to speak with us and do an interview. And you're in your first year as a state senator, and I know it can be a thankless job at times and often comes with a strong learning curve, but I also know that Nebraska Family Alliance sincerely appreciates your public service to our state. What drove you, Senator, to run for a seat in the state legislature?
Well, I guess it was looking at the way that our state was starting to head, and I got concerned for my sons and my future grandchildren and their future. And I figured that I couldn't do nothing by sitting on the sidelines, so I started to look for somebody to run for this position that might have good influence on the way we go forward in our state. And everybody that I asked had the same excuse that I had, that I was too busy, it wasn't right in my life, the pay is not there, just a myriad of reasons why not to run. And then I looked in the mirror and I saw somebody that was making the same excuses. So and then I asked my wife, and she said, well, talk to your sons, and we'll talk about it and pray. And the answer was pretty clear that I needed to do this.
And that's really, I think, what we need more of is good people such as yourself continuing to step up and answer the call of public service. And by most accounts, this past legislative session was a very unique and at times rocky session, so it was quite the time for you to be a first-year senator. How did you experience your time going through the first session in the unicameral?
Well, you know, everybody said that this was such a strange year, this last year, and I said, well, it's the only year that I know.
Right.
This is the way that the legislature is to me. It was the way that last year ran, so it's nothing out of the ordinary for me. And, we were faced with a huge budget shortfall because of the economy and the ag economy, and we solved the problem without raising our people's taxes, which was one of my pledges, and I'm going to stick with that our people need to keep their money in their pockets.
Oh, I think all Nebraskans appreciate hearing that. And Senator, you also campaigned as a pro-life, pro-family, and pro-religious freedom candidate, and you kept those promises as well, voting to defend those values and in accordance with Nebraska Family Alliance on each of those issues last year. Why are those values of upholding the family and defending religious freedom and the culture of life so important to you as a government official?
Well, as I see the governments around us and even our government in part, when the state and the country government, the federal government, starts taking things out of the church and away from our families and starts acting like a god itself, dispersing back to the people, I see that as very wrong. And we need to keep things morally in our families, in the church, in with God. That's a priority to me. And I'm going to try very hard to live up to those standards, and I just need everybody's helps and prayers to do that.
Absolutely. And so as a state senator who cares deeply about these issues that people also care about, defending religious freedom and creating a culture of life, what do you want them to know about how they can help to do their part in defending these values? Is there, you know, what is it like for you as a state senator? Do you hear from a lot of people in your district or from across the state on these issues?
You need to contact your state senator as often as you can. I cherish each and every contact that somebody gives me, whether it's by phone, by email, by letter. I love the pictures the children draw for me. It's gratifying to know that people actually care and will give you their thoughts, whether they fall in line with your thoughts or not. It's very important to keep the constituents' hands supporting or holding back their senator.
So from where you're sitting as a state senator, people contacting your office and other offices of other state senators really does make a difference.
It makes a huge difference. If there's something that you feel very strongly about, or even just kind of strongly about, you need to contact your state senator. If you see us going in the wrong direction, or if we're going in the right direction, a pat on the back is always good to let us know that we've done good.
Right, and as a unicameral, the people really are the second house, so it's important that citizens continue to contact their state representative. Senator Lowe, was there anything that you were surprised by or maybe didn't expect about being in the legislature that you've learned after being down there for 1 year?
You know, being in business my whole life and not being in government, I kind of planned myself knowing that it wasn't going to move as fast as business goes. In business, you kind of make an educated decision and you go with it. Here you argue about it for hours and hours and hours, and then you might put it off for a couple of years, and that is just foreign to me. And if you have a problem, you need to dig down and you need to find it within you to solve the problem. I kind of saw that coming, and I knew that was coming. So I don't know if there are any big surprises. I guess I went down to Lincoln expecting not to have many friends, and I found that there are a lot of good people and a lot of good people working to make this state a great state.
Senator, I also frequently hear you speak in favor of limited government, personal liberty, and free enterprise. How do those convictions guide you when, as a state senator, you're looking at a bill that's been introduced or is being debated in committee, and this past year there were over 500 bills?
I believe there were 667 or 668, because I had one of those last bills that I had picked up. You know, you look at them, and it depends on the senator that's looking at them and their convictions. And that's why it's important to elect good senators with good morals that are going to stand for our rights. But you look at them and you see if they'll fall in line with your personal convictions and your constituents. So you have to believe in your constituents and not just take this as something on your own.
And in your first year at the state capitol, you served on three different committees: agriculture, business and labor, and government, military, and veteran affairs, all very vital committees handling important legislation that can have a major impact on our state. What was it like for you to be one of only a handful of people on those committees handling these big issues?
Well, it was great knowing that I was there and supporting the people in Nebraska. It takes more than a handful, and that's where you rely on reaching out and talking to others about about each bill that is brought to you. That's very important to become very educated on what is happening, so that something doesn't slip by and you believe it's going to help, and it ends up hurting the very same people you thought you were going to help.
And I want to come back to, you mentioned the state budget and the deficit earlier, because it dominated much of the session this year, and signs point to that being the case again next year as tax revenue projections continue to come in short, further widening the budget deficit. Senator, in your viewpoint, what needs to happen, or what are you anticipating happening when the legislature reconvenes next year and takes another look at the state budget?
Well, this next year is a 60-day session. It's the short session. So I believe we're going to spend about 20 days on the budget, 20 days arguing with a couple of certain senators, and that just leaves 20 days to finish off everything else that we're going to be doing this next session. But I believe we continually need to look at what we're spending our money on, how we're spending our money, and if it is doing any good for the state. That's the most important thing, because our state is not supposed to be an all-encompassing entity. It is supposed to help the constituents, but not stand in the way. And I still believe we have a lot of government that stands in the way of free enterprise and people, and just it's still just too big.
Right, and you actually sponsored a bill last year to repeal a law, which was Nebraska's mandatory motorcycle helmet law, which came up just short of passing during a filibuster. Senator, why did you choose to sponsor that bill, and will we see it again?
That is a bill that's going to keep on coming up until it is repealed. And the way it's repealed will just be the way the bill is presented at the time. But I brought that because of constituents out here. It was not brought to me by a lobbyist or any big organization the way a lot of them are. It was brought to me by the people of Nebraska. And I looked at it as a freedom bill. We've taken one segment of our state and said, this is the way that you will act. And if you don't, you will be fined or something worse. And I believe it's their right to ride the helmet or ride with their motorcycle with or without the helmet. Many of them just want to ride for a few minutes without it, just to air out because on hot days it does get very warm inside a helmet. I'm not a motorcycle rider myself. I did when I was in college, and I found that convertibles are much more stable and get the same thing accomplished. But it's totally a freedom bill to me.
Right, and as you mentioned that this is something that you heard from people in your district that they wanted, I'm sure property taxes is up there, but what are the other issues that you continue to hear about when you talk to people across the state?
Property taxes is the number one issue. Taxes as a whole would probably be the second issue. And so we need to continue to work to bring those down. We need to find out the reason why the taxes are high, and we just can't come at it saying, well, we need to do this, and without finding a reason why they're that high. I mean, we have to bring the property taxes down. We have to bring all taxes down in order for our state to flourish.
Right, and this earlier this year, we had a tax reform bill that the governor was helping to promote and worked hard on, and it came up short. What is it going to take, Senator? We hear constantly the need for tax reform, specifically property tax relief, and yet we can't seem to get something pushed across the finish line. Is there a chance you think that next year we'll have another opportunity and a real shot at getting some sort of tax reform in Nebraska?
There will be several opportunities for tax reform in Nebraska, I believe, brought this next year. I'm sure the governor will bring a tax bill that he's working on, and I know Senator Erdman is bringing a property tax bill. And if he doesn't get his passed, he's going to put it out to the people in the way of a referendum, and they could then vote on it the following year.
So what's going on right now for you and other state senators when the legislature is not in session, but you're still very busy? What does your time look like now during the interim?
I believe my time is actually busier now than when it is in session. I'm on the road constantly. I'm on my way back to Lincoln today. I was in Lincoln yesterday. And just a myriad of meetings going on. I didn't realize that when I applied for this job, I was going to have to know everything from swimming pool water to opioid addiction to knowing the ins and outs of all taxes. But I'm taking it just as a businessman would, as a new challenge, and we'll go forward from here.
And so, Senator, as you're preparing for next year, what are the top priorities in your mind that the legislature needs to address or that you personally would like to see accomplished?
Well, we need to control the budget. We need to control the taxing of our people. We just need to make government not so big. It's a daunting thing. It intimidates people, and that's not what government should do.
Well, I think many Nebraskans agree with that. Particularly, we've seen over the last several years just the continued growth of government, and also our First Amendment rights starting to be undermined. And you've decided to step up and do something about that as a state senator in Nebraska. What do you think it's going to take as a state official to continue to promote this message of limited government and personal liberty and the importance of protecting religious freedom? How do you think we can continue to advance that viewpoint?
Well, with programs like this is a good one. Just getting out and speaking, we've always been the silent majority, and we are there. We just need to become more vocal. Whether it's in your cities, in your Cub Scout packs, in anywhere else, we need to become more vocal and protest gently and become the moral majority that we truly are, and take things back.
Senator Lowe, it's a privilege to have you on the show today. I appreciate your time, and we thank you for your strong stance in defense of family values and all the work that you are doing in service to our state.
Nate, it's been a real pleasure serving Nebraska, and I keep your eye on me. I'm still there, and if I start doing something wrong, let me know, because I want to live up by my morals.
Absolutely. Thank you, Senator. Well, we just heard directly from a state senator about the importance of contacting your elected representatives and the real difference that you can make by doing so. So I would encourage everyone to visit NebraskaFamilyAlliance.org, where you can get all of the information you need about the state legislature and how you can contact your state senator when these issues affecting family, freedom, and life are coming up. NFA will provide you with all of the resources and information that you need to know in order to contact your state senator and what our position is on a particular bill and why. There were well over 600 bills introduced earlier this year, and we'll have another several hundred introduced next year, and no one can know them all. So at NFA, we read through all the bills, everyone, and we look for the ones that we think NFA needs to take a position on, and then we communicate that to our network and the general public so that they know which bills we are advocating for and encouraging senators to pass, and which ones we're concerned about and we think will be bad or undermine traditional family values. So be sure to join our e-network so you can get important updates straight to your mailbox. You can also sign up to join the Capital Prayer Initiative, a unique texting service hosted by Nebraska Family Alliance, and will send you the most urgent updates and requests to pray straight to your phone when critical votes are being taken at the state capitol. or when we need people to take action. So this is a great way to stay informed and get important updates in a quick and easy manner. So to join the Capital Prayer Initiative, text the word PRAY to 402-979-7729. That's text the word PRAY to 402-979-7729 to join the Capital Prayer Initiative. There's no other texting service like this in the state of Nebraska. It's completely free. We don't overload you with text messages. They are very seldom, just truly when there's an important update, when we need prayer, when we have an urgent request. So it's really a great way just to stay connected with the issues and know what's happening and get you important information that you need to know about. I say it all the time, what happens at the state capitol doesn't stay at the state capitol. It's essential that the citizens of Nebraska be engaged on the issues, that we have folks who are paying attention and contacting their state senators, because the decisions being made at the capitol are going to affect the lives of real people. They are coming to our churches, our families, our homes, and our businesses. Just this past year alone, there were bills introduced and debated by the state legislature on issues ranging from life and abortion to human trafficking, expanded gambling, religious freedom, the rights of Christian business owners, the First Amendment rights of all Nebraskans, education, school choice, taxes, gun rights, agriculture, and more. So a really easy way to stay engaged and know what's going on at the state capitol, as well as help defend traditional family values and advance family freedom and life, is to partner with Nebraska Family Alliance, the state-based affiliate of Focus on the Family, and partnered with Alliance Defending Freedom and Family Research Council. We are part of a national movement to restore the foundation of our country, the family. And we want to make sure that Nebraska is a place where the sanctity of human life is protected from its very beginning to its natural end, where marriages and families are strengthened and supported by public policy, not attacked or weakened, and religious freedom is affirmed and celebrated free from government interference. If that is something that resonates with you, visit NebraskaFamilyAlliance.org to connect with us, see how you can join the movement and partner with NFA to advance our mission. Lastly, I wanted to close out the show with some international news involving the persecution of Christians and other religious minorities. Last week, Vice President Pence came out with the big news that President Trump has instructed the State Department to stop funding certain ineffective United Nations relief efforts and to instead provide humanitarian assistance directly through USAID and faith-based groups. Vice President Pence spoke at the Defense of Christians annual Solidarity Dinner for Christians in the Middle East, where he criticized the UN for often failing to help the most vulnerable communities, especially religious minorities. And this is being championed as a way to better assist, help, and provide aid to persecuted Christians and religious minorities in the Middle East so that we are not solely relying on the United Nations alone to assist those being persecuted in the wake of genocide and the atrocities of terrorist groups. And so here's a short audio clip highlighting an important part of Vice President Pence's speech about the White House's decision to redirect funds to better aid persecuted Christians and religious minorities.
The United States will work hand in hand from this day forward with faith-based groups and private organizations to help those who are persecuted for their faith. This is the moment. Now's the time. And America will support these people in their hour of need. We stand with those who suffer for their faith because that's what Americans have always done. Because the common bond of our humanity demands a strong response. And so as a nation, we pledge to support them in these trying times and every day. And every day, I know the American people offer forth a chorus of prayers for these communities from our hearts to the heart of heaven.
Powerful words from the Vice President and an important opportunity for positive change. And I hope that this change will lead to more effective relief efforts for those suffering because of their faith. Thanks for listening to this week's edition of Capital Connection. I'm your host, Nate Graz. As always, for more information, you can visit NebraskaFamilyAlliance.org. And to never miss an episode, be sure to subscribe to Capital Connection for free by searching for Capital Connection in the podcast app on your phone. I'll be back next week. Thanks for listening to your Capital Connection.